You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Who dat, hour two of the show, getting you set for Saints-Dolphins' final preseason game tonight at 7 o'clock. It's the Acadian Windows fans' first take on WWL, and our Oakland Heart Rolex time is about 2 hours and 50 minutes prior to kickoff. More Saints roster battles to come and discuss, including tight end, defensive line, secondary, and we'll check in from the Superdome Concourse with Christian Garrick and Bobby Hebert a little bit later this hour. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll at WWL.com and the Radio.com app right now. Which position group are you watching most closely tonight? We got a bunch of choices for you there. We'll keep an eye on that poll. We'll give you the final results before our show is up. As we do every single week, Steve, we know you're chicken. You're worried about something, man. So,
oh, yeah, I'm a big worry ward. Yeah, that's me.
So what you chicken about tonight? Brought to you by Crispy Crunchy Chicken. Perfectly Cajun.
Yeah, look, I can say that, and I'll say this all the time, because the first and foremost thing is injury. You know, that's the one thing that you don't have any control over. It's one of the variables that is part of this game. But other than that, I'm really not worried about anything in this game. This game is really for the guys that are guys on the bubble, guys that have come back from injury, guys that are questionable free agents, guys that are questionable to make your team, to see how many reps they can get to impress. And this is a make or break game for a lot of guys. So you can rest assured that, I mean, the butterflies are like pterodactyls, you know, in some of these guys. So,
but, oh, it's very vivid. I like that. Yeah, butterflies like pterodactyls.
Yeah, imagine that. But
terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. But then let me get to the tight ends, because the tight end part of it is you know, obviously with the acquisition of Cook this offseason, which to me was probably our best acquisition from what I can tell. I think he's really going to pay dividends for us from the standpoint of how athletic he is. I watched him in years past with Oakland and noticed that he was really one of the tight ends in the league that I thought was just underperforming for him, just because Carr didn't give him the ball, you know, at Oakland or as often as he did. And I think he had some injuries and things too, but he looked to me like he was always a guy that was ready to sort of be in that, Kelsey, Gronkowski, Kittles type of a group. He really was in that, you know. I think he'll get. I think with Breeze throwing to you, I think he almost can't help but get in that group, you know. Now Josh Hill and Dan Arnold they're pretty consistent guys, and then I think that they do a pretty good job of the blocking part of the tight end. I'm just not so sure they do that great of a job on the making play part of it. But look, Garrett Griffin went on IR, and then Alize Mack. You know, I think he's had some issues and as far as, injuries and things like that, and hasn't been around a lot. But look, A.J. Derby was a flash that they picked up a couple of weeks into the camp here. And I can tell you right now, just by his athletic ability and what he's done just in the short time that I've seen him, when he learns this offense better and has a chance to digest part of this and gets used to Drew Brees a little bit better and the things he does, I think he's going to end up being your number two tight end.
Yeah, I thought Garrett Griffin was squarely on this team until he was put on IR a couple of days ago. I even missed the news. It was kind of buried. And that somebody, Steve, they're really going to miss on special teams. He was a key contributor on most of their special teams group, and a guy that I thought would have made this roster, even though a lot of people probably, casual Saints fans or maybe even hardcore Saints fans, some of them wouldn't have known his name. So I thought it was a big loss.
Well, there. And again, that's going to open up the opportunity for somebody, you know, to step in that spot where he was on special teams and really sort of pick up the slack there. So, yeah, it's next man up in that.
Let's go to the phone lines and our weekly trek voyage down under to Australia. Leader of the Houdan Army, Tony in Australia. What's up today, Tony?
How are you, Steve and Seth?
What's going on?
The boys are gonna dine out on dolphin sushi today.
Ooh. Okay, dolphin sushi.
I don't know how that sounds, but yeah.
Yeah, nasty.
And Just a quick question. Has there been any players that Sean's held back not to be on the field that could end up on the practice squad, just so other teams can't sort of jump on them?
Ah, the high level, you know, game of chess Tony's talking about there. Do you see any of that, Steve?
Any? Explain it to me again, Tony. Like,
I think Tony. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony. You're saying guys that maybe Sean isn't playing a lot in game situations, so other teams don't get film on them. Is that what you're insinuating there?
Yeah, and if they not necessarily make the 53-man squad, but end up on the practice squad, other teams can't jump in to grab them.
Tony, I like that question.
That's a great question, Tony. And you know what? I don't know. All I know is unless that is sort of an agreement between Sean and this guy, you know, somebody that would be in that position, and that would be double top secret type stuff. But I can tell you that as a player, I'd be very concerned if I wasn't getting any reps, you know. But then to kind of find out that, oh, well, he's got, you know, me in his back pocket here. He's he's hiding me from the rest of the league. But that would have to be something that would come from Sean and the position coach and the player, because I don't see any guys in that situation right now. But again, hey, stranger things happen, and I know they have done stuff like that before.
Look, the subterfuge behind the scenes this time of year in the NFL is always fascinating to me. And there is, for a lot of the guys now that are heading to the practice squad, big-time roster bonuses, maybe to compensate for not getting on, you know, a 53-man roster somewhere else if you're picked up. And I hadn't thought about this in a while, Tony, but it's a great question.
You know, the other part of it is, too, is, look, there's guys that are trying to make this team, and they're not going to be good enough to make this team, and so they end up this bottom, I don't know, 20% of your roster is always so fluid, and it's constantly being upgraded.
I'm not talking about a lot of players. Maybe
sure.
There may be one or two sleepers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. I just don't know. I can't identify any of those guys. I guess it's a great secret, you know. I guess they would have to sort of keep it a secret, you know, between the player and the coach. But I can't identify those players.
I'll tell you this, and this is somebody who's going to make the roster, fellas, is a guy that we have not seen in game situation. That I am sure part of that is Sean does not want to show him on film to other teams, even if it's just, you know, vanilla film, is Jared Cook. He's apparently a little bit banged up, but not a situation where he couldn't have played in these games. I just don't think Sean wants to show people how he's going to actually implement him into the offense.
Well, look, I can tell you this, that as much as Sean Payton loves the tight end position and as much as Drew Brees utilizes that tight end position, there's times we got three tight ends out there. Do you know that?
Yeah. Taysom Hill.
Yeah, this creates a huge problem for defensive coordinators. And
Monday week can't come quick enough because I get to see them play live on TV.
I'm with you, Tony. Thanks for checking in, bud, all right?
Good on you, fellas. Catch you next week.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Tony, down good under day. In Australia. That's right. Good day, Tony. Good day. It's very early. It's a good night almost down there. Tony in Australia, thanks. 504-260-1870, that's the phone number. Wherever you are, Saints fans, 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. Remember, this is your show. When we come back, more roster battle discussions. We'll switch to the defense. Defensive line got a little interesting with Sheldon Rankin's return. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take here on WWL. Hey, a little shout out to Tony in Australia from the text line, the 985 text in. Anyone else love it when Tony calls in? He's so knowledgeable. He is. We love it every week, Steve.
Tony is a very educated fan. Yeah, he certainly is.
Let's talk about the defensive line. This group it got a little more interesting now that Sheldon Rankins is officially back on the active roster and off PUP. They will hold him there, which means
Thank God.
He will not play for the first 4 to 5 weeks or the reports, not in game action anyways. That means they're basically holding a roster spot for him. So when I did my roster projections yesterday, Steve, I initially had 9. Well, early in the week I had 9 on there. But because Rankins won't play, I actually put 10. And Rankins, Davenport, Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, Malcolm Brown, Trey Hendrickson, Mario Edwards, pretty much all, and Taylor Stallworth, probably all locks. Then you have guys like, in my mind, Wes Horton, Sylvester Williams, guys who I think are on the roster. But you brought up some guys during the break, Shy Tuttle, some others who are certainly going to get a look.
Ziggy Hood. I mean, I've seen these guys play in the past on other teams. And like Ziggy Hood was a formidable force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Missouri guy, I think. strong guy, really could sort of hold the middle there. Sylvester Williams, sort of the same thing, a bigger guy, but Stallworth does nothing but great things all the time when I watch him. But look, those guys can all flat get it. And I know we lose Onyemata just for the first game, though, right?
One game.
So that, okay, that's not going to be too big a deal. But the fact that Rankins is back is huge. Now, I don't know how far along he is before he's ready to go and get into game shape. And PUP means you're on it for the least of what, first?
If, 6 weeks. You can practice week 6 and 7. You can play in week 8, basically.
So half a season. He's done for half. He's mm-hmm. not going to be there for half the season. Correct?
Well, he's off PUP. So they brought him off PUP. So he can play. But what I was told is he's not going to play, which is interesting. You would think if they're going to do that, he would play early. But this is what I was told, Steve, when I asked around and got some feedback on this. They said they want him to hit guys, which he can if he's on PUP, you know, with the CBA rules and everything. Obviously, you can't have him practice if he's on PUP. So they wanted him to get back to practice, move around a little bit, hit some people, get some contact. So that's the only way they could do it, basically, was bringing him off PUP and holding a roster spot for him.
Well, that's going to be the thing that's going to test that that Achilles more than anything else is, look, there's a big, big difference between practice and game tempo, and especially when you're moving on the field with a surgically repaired, you know, aspect of your legs, especially something like that. Everything comes from that. Mm-hmm. Okay, all your power in your body is transferred down you know, your posterior chain into your big toe, which we have big problems with, you know, with guys with the
look at Marcus Davenport.
Yeah. And then obviously there's a lot of tension going on with that, you know, largest tendon in the body being the Achilles there. So once they figure out that he can sort of explode on that and be able to transition, move around, have the balance, have the lateral quickness as well as sort of the explosiveness, and be able to hold up double teams, you know, guards and centers and stuff like big heavy dudes coming at you hard, and then being able to sort of explode off that and you know, go one way or the other and make a tackle or something like that. That's a lot to ask for, and he's come back faster than I've seen a lot of guys come back for. So, you know, kudos to him and his rehab ability and whatnot. So, and obviously, I think the surgeon probably did a great job on the repair. So, look, that's a huge thing, and that's one thing I look for, you know, being an ex-center, is I look at interior defensive linemen more than anything, and three techniques, the three shade guys, and nose tackles. And
when you say that, and yeah, a lot of our listeners are going, well, what's three technique, what's three shade?
Yeah, a three shade is when you have an over and under defense, you have four defensive linemen. You have a nose tackle that obviously is over the center, and then your three shade is on either guard, and he's usually either head up or shaded outside, okay? And that gives them the sort of balance that they're looking for to cover up those gaps defensively and make that a sound defensive front. So I like the fact that I watch these guys, and like Malcolm Brown to me was another one that, man, he came in here and it was just seamless. Acted like a very, very high motor guy that looks to me like they've let him do some things that that they didn't let him do with the Patriots. And I think he's become an extremely good factor for us. I think Davenport's on his way to really sort of, you know, breaking out from what he was. I think a lot of people are waiting on that, and he's getting a lot of, you know, publicity, not necessarily positive, but nevertheless, I think he's gone on his way to do it. And then Hendrickson is like a dog, man.
That's Saints defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins earlier this week on his return to the active roster. Welcome back to the show. Saints Dolphins coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. We're throwing it to Countdown to Kickoff, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, brought to you with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. Top of the hour, but Christian's at least going to join us. Might hear from Bobby, too, in about 10 minutes. I haven't asked your thoughts yet, and I think everybody who's listening, the entire Saints fan base would like to know. What do you think about Andrew Luck retiring unexpectedly last Saturday?
You know, I don't think anybody can tell a man when he needs to retire from something or, you know, needs to hang up something. I think that's his own personal decision. Now, I will say this, that the timing of it was bad, but you know what? I think he wanted to make sure that he really wanted to do that. And from my understanding is, I think he had a talk with the coach a week or two before, and like I guess was hitting around to that he was going to try to do that. And I think probably the coach said, look, well, we got to have to know by, you know, a certain date. I know he's getting a lot of criticism for it, but look, I can tell you right now that there comes a time when you know you can't do it. And even though we don't know exactly what was going on with him, we don't know, you know, if he's got some, you know, emotional issues going on or whatever. Look, I can tell you that when you battle injury after injury after injury after injury, that can bring you down for a while. And you're thinking, what in the hell am I doing this for? You know, I'm getting literally, you know, hell beat out of me. And he's not doing it for the money. You know, he's doing it because he loved the love of the game. I have a lot of respect for the guy. I think he was a great football player. And it was time for him to go. I can't second guess that. I can't say, oh, you know, I would have done this different. I would have done that different. I don't know. And so I don't have my opinion is that I think he did what he felt like he should do, and I don't have any problem with it.
And I don't think that Andrew Luck owes us, you know, Saints fans, you know, or people who watch football anything.
And I'll tell you this too, Seth. There's a certain ownership that fans feel towards their professional football players. And I'm using professional football. They're sports people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right, okay? That's nobody's business but his own and his team and the team. And I think that he felt what he – look, I can tell you right now, as a guy that would be – if I was playing with Andrew Luck and he'd have done this, I would have thought, you know, I would rather have him retire than know that he had the retirement mentality going on during the football season. Because I know that he wouldn't have been worth a damn, or it would have been a shade, just a very skeleton of what he would have should be. If you're all in and you're not thinking, you know, you're talking about retirement, you're ready to go, and he would have been a different, completely different guy.
And when people, and you said it perfectly here, that it was not about the money; it was about his happiness and his health. With the quarterback contracts now, and this is a lowball figure, 29 years old. He plays another decade in the league at $35 million a year at quarterback. But that's going to go way up. I mean, that's what Russell Wilson got. That's $350 million that he basically turned down to be happy.
And you know that he doesn't have anything debilitating, okay? He's got stuff that's just piled up over and over and over and over again, and he's saying, hey, I've had it with this. I'm tired of it. And that's where he came. And it doesn't mean he's soft, doesn't mean he's weak, doesn't mean any of that. It just means that, hey, this guy was a great football player at one point, and you could see how good he was. To me, the Colts were heavy, heavy into the Super Bowl talk this year with him coming back. So the fact that, you know, he decides that, you know, to bail out doesn't tell me anything other than the fact that, look, this guy made a choice that it wasn't for him anymore.
And this also reminded me, as I thought about it all week long, Steve, that – instead of this thing we get caught up in, this social media age, this 24-hour sports news cycle, we always want to know who's the next Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees. Instead of us just debating that incessantly every single day of the year, we appreciate that Tom and Drew are still out there doing their thing. There might not be another one. There will never be another one of those guys.
No, you're right. I tell people all the time, and every time New Orleans fans, enjoy number 9 while he's here. Because he won't be here forever. It feels like he's been here forever because you've got this, you know, great thing going on, and it's sort of this great machine that's this finely tuned, you know, high performance machine out there, and it's run by this guy. And he plays at such a high level and does things so good all the time. But you know what? There's going to come a point where he's going to say, I'm not going to do it anymore.
It might be this year, might be next year, who knows? We'll wait for that. But yeah, enjoy it while you can, Saints fans. He's Steve Court, I'm Seth Dunlap. We're going to add to our show Christian Garrick, maybe Bobby Hebert joining the show when we come back. Plus, yeah, your Who Dat chance like we do every single Saints game day to end our show coming up in 10 minutes. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Saints Dolphins tonight on WWL. Oh, well, look, the party's getting bigger because joining us live outside the Superdome in front of Gate A on the concourse, Christian Garrick, as he gets ready for the Bud Light countdown to kick off. Christian, what's going on, man?
Fellas, how we doing? I'll be glad when this one's over because then we can talk about real football upcoming and roster cuts, et cetera.
Boy, you're right. I can't wait for it. Actually, I've got to enjoy preseason in the last couple of years. I used to hate preseason football, but it's better than no football.
Yeah, and you know what, Seth and Steve – I don't love it, but it is neat to watch – you know, as we you guys have talked about these position battles, that's really what you look for now, right?
You're looking to see who's standing out, who's not,
and you know what sucks about tonight is this is going to be the last time some of these guys are ever going to play organized football again, ever.
Yeah, that's going to be that's kind of sad for some of them. That really is sort of a that's the part that I don't like about it, but but it is a reality. Once you get here, it's really really hard to stay. But look, there's. You have to look at preseason football completely different than regular season football. Like you said before, you have to break it down into segments. You have to like watch certain positions and certain players in certain positions to see, you know, how they're developing from week to week and sort of what the position battles is going to be.
Christian, yeah. Some of the roster battles that seem to be the most difficult for us to break down. Two of them, and I want to know how you kind of handicap these battles: wide receiver and offensive line.
Two tough ones, really tough ones. They've got – okay, so we start at wide receiver. I think Emmanuel Butler's on this team. And I know his two appearances in the preseason haven't been necessarily dazzling, but I think he's just done enough, and they feel really good about what he could become. The upside is tremendous with Emmanuel Butler. I don't know how they treat Deonte Harris. In other words, I've told you, and I think I've told Steve, that there was a thought in my head that they may keep as little as five wide receivers. But I think Deonte Harris, if he's the fifth wide receiver – per se, then they would have to keep another wide receiver. So that would be six. And that could be anywhere from Keith Kirkwood potentially being that sixth guy or a guy that I know you guys like, I know Seth likes, and Austin Carr. So it's a tough one to size up because the other thing, too, is Alvin Kamara, even Taysom Hill, and Jared Cook, they all function. They can function as a wide receiver. So can Dan Arnold. So it gives them some flexibility a little bit. Along the offensive line, I don't think the biggest thing for me, and Steve would know better than me, but for me, they don't have, I don't think, that swing left or right tackle. The guy that can go over there
right.
if Teron Armstead goes down or Ryan Ramczyk goes down, they don't have a Jermon Bushrod to plug in there.
No, the only one right now that I can see is Marshall Newhouse stepping in that role, but I don't know what their plans are. I don't know if they're going to keep nine or eight or if they're going to I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, nine seems like a lot, especially I think two of the last 6 years they've actually started week one with only seven offensive linemen, at least when they cut down to 53 on the roster. So that, it's one of the positions we're watching closely. That was a great segue, Christian, because I was going to mention Jermon Bushrod is calling it a career one-day contract with the Saints, and he'll retire as a member of the organization. Guys, I'm sure you both have great memories of Jermon in a Saints uniform, especially, of course, he was part of that Super Bowl team.
For sure, and Bobby is here alongside, by the way. He just got here, so he's ready to go whenever you guys are. But I'll start with Jermon Bushrod. I got fond memories of him just as a football player and what he did. He's a Super Bowl champion. And that year, that was the year Jamal Brown got injured in 2009 in the preseason, and we didn't know too much about Jermon Bushrod other than he was a rookie out of a fourth-round draft pick out of
Towson,
yeah.
And, yeah, we're in that with Maryland. That's in Maryland.
And then he kind of just – everybody was expecting to be a huge drop-off when he went down, and then he stepped up in his shoes at left tackle and really kind of blossomed and then got a big payday with the Bears several years later. And he's always had a great love and affinity for this city and this organization. And he's a first-class guy when you talk to him. He's never been rude or short with the media. He's always been pretty easy to talk to and have conversations with.
Well, it'd be interesting to see who's going to be potentially the new Bushrod this year. Compared to not when he was starting, but with how he contributed to the team last year. So I still think that's kind of a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bobby. I'm also – I don't know. I'm sitting here still trying to figure out if Nick Easton makes this team.
Well, he will this year because of the
will
money.
Because they have to pay him, Steve. Now, next year, I don't think so. Be interesting. I don't know. I think they're on the team for sure, and we're counting on Bridgewater and Easton. But 2020, that might be a different animal. But, you know, it's amazing. You look at the past two ends of training camp, late summer additions. Look when we got Taysom Hill from the Packers.
Yep.
Justin Hardy. You look even Austin Carr from the Patriots. Dwayne Washington. So that's why.
Yep.
It looks Saturday's going to be here before you know it when they got to get to 90 to the 53, 3 p.m., the deadline Saturday. So stay tuned because there could be a number of individuals that We didn't even see an OTA's minicamp or training camp that's going to be on
hey,
the
Hey, Bobby, I said this. I said, hey, if A.J. Derby knows more of this offense, he ends up being your second team tight end.
Second team?
Yeah, if he knows, if he ends up knowing more about this offense, I think the athleticism that he showed, I think, to me, from what I've seen.
The only thing is Dan Arnold had an awesome game against the Jets. That's what the Saints wanted to see because they like that upside when you look at Dan Arnold, what he was able to do against the Jets.
Stay tuned. Bobby Christian, stay right there. As we do every week, we end our show with your Who Dat chance. We want the best Who Dat chance. They might even have a mic out there on the concourse. You want to give us your best shot? Give us a call, 504-260-1870. We had some really good ones last week. I think a couple of 10 ratings from a Steve Court, which never happens. So let's try it again. 504-260-1870. We need good, fun, creative, crazy Who Dat chance coming back and wrapping up the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL, and it's time for your Who Dat chance. Got enough for a couple of them. 504-260-1870. We really need to get pumped up for this game against Miami. Look, it's the final preseason game, so we need all the juice we can get, Steve Court. Let's do this. Get a little chopper.
I want to hear some of this. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. All right, first up, Dave. What you got, Dave? Okay, I'm going to let you start again. That was a little false start. We're going to let you guys try it one more time. Dave and everybody else there, give us your best. Might have been a little adult beverage infused there.
Clark. Yeah, that was I'm going to give him about an 85 on that.
All right, 85. Good try, fellas. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Brian, what you got, Brian?
Hey.
You're on. Give us your best.
Oh, okay. Well, that was quick. The Dolphins have Aquaman, but we have Captain America. Who that says they're gonna be them safe? Who that?
Steve, final ranking. We got to go.
I'm going to give him about a 90 just on creativity.
Thanks for calling, Brian. Thanks, everybody. Bud Light countdown to kickoff next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.